Evening, everybody.
Evening.
I have been looking forward to this moment since my name made the list. So I'm very, very excited about that. Little story before we get started. I've done many things with this church since I've been here. Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, David, for wherever you may be at. I don't see you. But I've done the assisting. I've done the communion. I've done the collection. I've done the scripture many times, as you've seen. I've done the preaching before as well. But the thing that doesn't scare me the most but gets me the most nervous is the icebreaker. So I've been pondering and pondering and pondering what my icebreaker is going to be when I got up here. So the best thing I could do is come up with a little joke to get the icebreaker going. So let's do that real fast. You got a tank full of fish. You got a tank with 10 fish in it. Two fish die. Two fish drown. Two fish swim wherever we got. How many fish are in the tank? 10 fish are in a tank, because they're still in the tank. Aha, there we go. We got the smiles going now. All right. Got the jitters out.
All right.
While I was in my class this past year here, I took a class called Religious Studies. I'm sure that y'all have heard of that before. And one of the topics that we got to do was something on the Old Testament. And during this Religious Studies class, it was a big eye-opener for a lot of things that I was reading in that class. And the paper that I did mine on was the fall of man. And I chose that scripture because I feel that the temptations that Adam and Eve dealt with back then in the garden, we still deal with here today on a larger scale, of course, but still the temptation nevertheless. You have this perfect place that you want to be in. Let's call it the church, for example. And then you have all the temptations out there. God specifically tells us to do something. And then we go against that, and then we have to deal with that. And that's with us leaving the church and have to go out here into the world. Brother Morton this morning did a very great lesson on that, and he took a lot away my bullet points this morning for this afternoon. So he's not here to say congratulations for that. But nevertheless, we'll go on with about it. Again, the topic is going to be about the fall of man. Many questions have come up from this topic here. Both on the religious side and both on the scientist side as well. A couple questions that came up. Did God plan for this to happen? If Eden was the perfect paradise, where did the serpent come from? How did Adam and Eve know they were nude after they ate the fruit? Or even if Adam and Eve were already aware of heartache or pain? Example for that, hard labor and sweating from labor. To me, hard labor is pain. Nothing there either, okay. All right. Still trying to get the bigs out. All right. So what we're going to do first is let's go to that section of the Bible first, and let's just read over that. And I believe that's Genesis 3. Just so you know, I'm a page burner in the Bible. So if you need a little bit of time, if I'm going too fast from place to place, just let me know. We can slow it down just a little bit. All right. In Genesis 3, it reads, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field of which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'God has indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden.' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit in the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the trees where the midst of the garden is, God said, you shall not eat it, nor lest you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She said to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. She gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of them were both open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make coverings for themselves. And they heard the sound of the Lord, and walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees in the garden. Then the Lord God called to Abraham and said, 'Where are you?' To Adam and said, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' Then he said to the woman, the woman whom you gave me, she gave me the tree and I ate. The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed all the days of you are cursed more than all the cattle, you are, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat of the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and the, and your and her seed, and you shall bruise your head, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his." He shall bruise your head, and he shall bruise his heel. And the woman said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow at conception, and pain you will bring forth children, and desire the shall, and you shall desire your husband for all the days, and he shall rule over you." Then he said to Adam, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree which I have commanded you not to, saying, 'Curse is the ground for your sake, and the toil you shall eat, and the toil shall eat of you all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face of the bread, till the return of the ground, out of the ground you were taken, for thus you will return.'" All right? I think that'll be enough for us to read for right this moment. All right, so let's examine these verses of this here. Here the evil one is introduced as the serpent and was more cunning than the beast that God has ever created. If this ends up being too loud, just let me know, okay? The first section of this verse packs a lot of information. It shows that God was aware of the evil one prior to the creation of man. Let's turn over to Luke 10, chapter 10, verse 18 for that. And it says, "And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like a lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of your enemy, and nothing of any means shall hurt you.'" So what we're getting from this is that God knows of evil prior to, before they are created, before they are created in the garden. God also gives a direct command to Adam and Eve that they should not eat the tree of knowledge. He also tells them that if they disobey his commands, then they will die as a result of their actions. One thing that I love mostly about the Old Testament and reading over that is this group called the Israelites. God does so much for them in the course of their journey, and they still have so lack a little faith of him as they progress through their journey, that at some point they say they need dominion over them. God gives them to that. They still complain. He gives them something else, and they still complain, even down to when they just got out of Egypt. They complained about the food that they got, but God still provided. The evil one then tells Eve that she'll be equal as God and knows as much as he does. Let's turn to Psalms 89 and 6. And it says, "For in the heavens can be compared to the Lord. Who among the sons can be mighty and likened to the Lord?" Pretty much what it's saying here is that, you know, God is all knowing. God is all authority. Like what was mentioned this morning, who can be against us if God is for us? So if God is for us and he can eliminate any of our enemies, how can we be equal as God? So there's your first lie for what is being made mention there with Eve talking to the serpent. "So they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge after being tempted by the evil one." 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. "For God will never give us something or put us in a situation for where we cannot get out of it. We will not find an escape. Then Adam and Eve knew they were nude because of the ate of the fruit of the tree." Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 1 and 18 for that. For as much in wisdom is grief, and who increases knowledge increases sorrow. So when they ate of this fruit of the tree, yes, they became all-knowing of what reasonably they were to know, and yes, they became knowing of sorrow and of pain. So with that, the serpent was correct in a certain type of way, but he did not give them the tail end of it. How many times do we go through life today saying that, man, I would love to have this Porsche GT3 that goes extremely fast? That goes extremely fast. Okay. No, nobody wants one. Okay. All right. Yeah, I guess it's on. But that we want things that we know that we're not ready for. So let's say that we are able to get that item that we know that we're not ready for. We win the lotto for some odd reason, and we buy this car, this $250,000 car, so now we have this car. Well, we've paid the car off, and now all of our money's gone. Well, you want to drive this car, you have insurance you got to pay for, you got gas you got to put inside of it. So although it was a blessing at the time that you got it, is it really a blessing? Because it's something that we asked for that we were not yet ready for. So that's something to take from here, is that, yes, they were granted knowledge and all that stuff, and they know more than what they were supposed to have, but yet they didn't know the flip side of that, of knowing that what came with that. Everything that we get, everything that God gives us, everything is a blessing, but we have to understand that if it's not something that we're ready for yet, that blessing can easily turn into a curse. God has always allowed man to have free will. One thing about the Bible that I truly do love is that all throughout the Bible, even in Old Testament, New Testament, with Moses, Samuel, and Saul eventually becoming Paul, and one of anybody, Jacob in the Bible, was that they were all either were not God-fearing people, which was Saul, eventually turned to Paul, but eventually they did turn the correct way, and they did fear God. Now, we all know that as Christians here, that every day is not perfect. We know that we will go through things that will test us to see whether or not we do the godly thing or not. We were out shopping this past weekend. We were at Goodwill. We ran through the line. We were sitting there pushing a little seed spreader around, and Alexander probably got tired of pushing it, but we go check out. The ma'am checks us out for all of our clothing items, and then we just pay our thing and walk out the door. So we get out there to the car, and Charlotte says, I don't think that we got charged for the spreader. Spreader's 10 bucks. You know, is Goodwill really going to lose that 10 bucks? I mean, it was just given to them. I mean, they won't even know that we did that. Now, how easy would it have been to just load that spreader up and to put in the car and then drove off? I'm sure that if they've called me back later and said, hey, you didn't pay for the spreader. Oh, well, I didn't get charged for it. There's my excuse there. Or would it have been harder to have gone back inside and done the correct thing and say, look, I had this item here and I was not charged for, so I need to be charged for it. So instead of taking the short way out and knowing that if I had gotten this spreader, you know, I'm trying to grow grass in my backyard, I would have probably spent $1,000 in grass and never gotten the grass because I didn't pay $10 for this spreader here. You know, I do believe in karma myself. So we walk back inside, or I walk back inside, I get the manager and I tell her. I said, manager, I said, we were in this line, we bought these items, and we got looking at the receipt, and I didn't see that. And she says, oh, well, thank you for being honest and coming back inside, and we'll take good care of you. I said, my only problem is that I only stand in this line full of 20 people. Can you help me cut in line? And she said, sure, no problem. So we walk back inside, we get to the line, and the manager asked me the next question, the next thing that we go for. Well, how much was the shredder for? How much was the spreader? Could I have told her $5? She would have given it to her. Could I have told her the true price? Would have given it to her. Could I have told her $1,500? She probably would have said, probably not that much. Need to take a look at it. But yet still, to take the high road and to know that, well, it was $9.99 is how much the shredder was. And she's like, okay, we'll get you ringed up. After we got through paying for it, it's something minor, something that minor. But I felt so proud to know that I went in there and did the correct thing. Because we never know for when we are doing our godlike things, our being our Christian that we are in public, that somebody else in that line might have saw or had heard what you have done, and then they know, well, that might be the one thing to get me going. And that's the whole thing that we've been taught since we've been Christians, is that we shouldn't have to tell nobody that we're Christians. They should be able to see us and then know that we're Christians by our actions. And that's the one thing with Moses and Samuel and Paul did. Of course, there were shortcomings while they were coming up, but yet still they held the Christ-like example and they continued on and did the correct thing. Continue on. God has given the evil one to test his loyal ones. That's what we just got through talking about here, especially with Job. Of the entire Old Testament, the book of Job, is amazing. And I highly urge, if you have not read that story in its entirety, that you do that. The meat and potatoes of it all is that, you know, Job was a Christian man right up from the beginning, and Satan came up to him and said, you know what? He said, the only reason why he follows you is because you give him everything. You got him in his little bubble, you know, and I don't think God's a betting man, but I think he knew he could go on all in on Black 13 and said, you know what? Let's take it all away from him and see where he's at now. Everything was taken from him, and I mean literally everything was taken from him. Even his wife turned her back on him, but he yet kept the faith, and he did what was right. There was times where he got a little bit upset, but he still did what was right. And then at the end, he got things multiple times back over. He was better off than he was when he first begun. He also gives us certain commands to live. He also commands us to live a certain way and has certain expectations. Matthew 22:37. And it says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. With this being the greatest commandment, and the second being, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. Same thing like this morning was said. What are the three things that you need to be beautiful? Kindness, kindness, and kindness. If you put God first, like we know we should, that's half the battle right there. If we treat people like we want to be treated, that's the other half of the battle there. Will it be easy as we go along the way? Of course not. You will have the person that will slap you in the face, and you're to turn your face and then slap it again, and they for them to slap it again. But still, we're to live that Christian way and do the correct thing. If we fail to obey these commandments, then we will surely die. It's kind of lengthy, but I have that reference towards Leviticus 26:14-28. At no point should we ever consider that we can or will be on the same level as God. For God is not the same. God's time is not the same as ours. 2 Peter 3:28, it makes reference towards that 1,000 years to us could be a blip to God. Our thoughts and God's thought are not on the same level. Let's go ahead and turn to that one. Isaiah 55:8-9. Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than yours. Again, it's just a self-check for ourselves, that once you think that you got a grasp of everything, simply go back and read this here. And like was said this morning by Brother Morton, get your own dirt. You know, you got to understand that we have a place for everything and that God knows what's going to happen prior to happening. Yes, that comes with free will. If you decide that you're going to go and do something wrong, is that by your choice or is it by God's choice? It is by your choice. Man finally falls in temptation. No matter how bad things get, God will always provide a way out. Knowledge comes with great power and responsibility, and Adam and Eve thought knowing what God knew would be best for them. Clearly, you see how far that got them. And now Adam and Eve have eaten from the tree of knowledge, and God is looking for them. They think they can hide from God. Turn to Psalms 139, chapter 7. Psalms 139. Psalms 139:7. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make a bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even you are there, and your hand shall lead me there, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, and the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light both are alike as you. This is a great verse on behalf of both why Adam and Eve was hiding and just for ourselves. If y'all don't know, I am in law enforcement, and it has been a very, very dark time for us, not to go on a tangent too much. But this scripture, when I came across this, was very, very reassuring, because there were many nights, literally, that I would be working and I would question whether God is with me or not. And to understand that things might not be going the way that I want them to go right this moment, I know that by reading this verse is that he will always be there for me. And same thing, like he says, that he will never lead you to a temptation for where he cannot get you out of. So even to have those thoughts, I feel as if I was failing myself, because I knew that God was ultimately there with me. During that time, I might have felt that I was alone, but even at one point in time, Christ was on the cross, and he knew that God was with him the entire time until it was time for him to take all the sins for everybody. But God was still there with him. And then God calls out to them why they're hiding. Clearly, we know that we can't hide from God no matter what our situation is or where we're at. And then Adam gives God an excuse for why he was hiding. And he did not want to see their nakedness. And then God demands to know, how did he know that they were naked? We know that all God is all-knowing. That's kind of sort of a catch-22 for that, you know. Well, God, how did you know that I was actually out here at the club last night? Well, if God is everywhere, then why would he not know that you're at the club last night? Now, if you were at the club last night, I'm sorry for putting you on the spot like that, but, you know, God knows that you were there. So Adam and Eve think that they can hide from God. What we fail to understand is that God is all-knowing, God is everywhere. God is always walking about. It seems that some type of, let's skip on that. I feel that is no one can relate to God as being a man or a figure. You come across a lot of people that, especially these nowadays, they don't understand the fact that God is not a man. He is an all being. Let's turn to Numbers 23 and 19 to follow up with that. And it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. And he said, and he will not do, or he has spoken, he will not make it good. So pretty much this is saying is that don't compare God to me, to her, to him. If he says that something's going to happen, it's going to happen. If he says it's not going to happen, guess what? It's not going to happen. So we should not think or try to compare ourselves as God, because he is above what we are. The next part of that comes up is that God asked Adam, how did he know that they were naked? Instead of Adam taking the high road, what does he do? He points that finger. Well, look, God, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, this lady that you made, that you brought here, that I didn't ask for, had made me eat from this apple, or from this fruit, rather. And because you did this, is the reason why I failed for. Now, that's not literally word from word. You probably find that in Ricardo's version, Genesis 15 and 38, subtitle subsection B. That's probably where you'll find that at. But the whole point about this is that instead of Adam owning up to his mistake, he tries to point to somebody else. And in turn on that, he tries to blame God, because it's the lady that he made for her. Instead of saying, well, God, you know, Eve and I, we were deceived by the serpent, and this is what happened. Now, to say that something different would have been from the outcome, that is not to be known. So what does Adam not realize is that he has failed himself, and no one else has made him sin. James 1, 2 through 12 talks about that. You know, if we're to be tempted, we are to be tempted on our own. And this is not word for word by no means, but don't say that you were tempted because of somebody else. You were tempted because you chose to make that decision. The same thing that I teach my kids that I talk to at school. The reason why you fail is because you chose to fail and you didn't use the proper resources to get what you needed so you could succeed. So don't blame somebody else for your shortcomings. God always gives us clear instructions. God turns to Eve and asks her the same thing, and then she in turn does the same thing with the serpent. Every day we get up, we do something wrong. We have to understand that there's a way to be forgiven and find ourselves accountable. Romans 3:23. And then we go on to the God dealing down his punishment for everybody, with the serpent, down with Eve, and then down with Adam as finally being done. And then it comes up to say that after God sends his punishment, that apologies on that, y'all, lost my space up here. A question came up about Eve feeling pain during her time of labor. The biggest question that came up for this was if the garden was paradise, could she truly feel pain, or what type of pain that she would have from that? And also talks about her only having desire for her husband. And he also states that that the woman should have some type of leadership in certain situations. However, since she's failed to listen to God, then those rights were taken from her, and now she is second in the household. Timothy 2:12-15. And then continuing on, God had high expectations for Adam. Adam was expected to live a certain way and to keep God's commandments. We all know that. And we know that if he didn't sin, then who knows, ultimately, we all could be there in paradise with God, ultimately at the end. In the beginning, God knew that man was going to fall and that he was going to be tempted and he was going to take on this role of eventually needing some type of savior. And that's what's important that we got to realize nowadays, is that we do fall and we fall short of glory, and that we know that we have some type of savior for there. Matthew 7:13-14 is a scripture reference for that. Mark 16:16. But as long as we understand that at the end of the day, that we might do wrong and that we might not always do what the right thing is, or we might make the wrong decision, or we might make the correct decision, but at the wrong time, we have to understand that God is all-knowing and that we shouldn't allow what Adam and Eve did back then to be our ultimate undoing. I can't recall who I spoke with a while back ago. I spoke with them about their church life and whether or not they have decided to put on the cloak of God and the cloak of Jesus and be saved. A great message was mentioned a couple weeks ago about what are we doing to make the church grow. And guys, I'm not lying to you. I had to look at myself, and I'm trying not to be one of those people for where it's to talk to God about people. The end of the day, why is it so hard to talk to somebody about such a great thing? You know, why is it that it's hard to say, you know, yeah, you got to stop doing this here, but in the end you get this here instead of being like Adam and Eve and pointing the finger at somebody else? Because ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, we're responsible for each other, you know, and if we don't spread the word, then how's the word going to get around? You know, I was not upset, but it was very heartening to hear that we were one of those churches in Revelation about the one that was lukewarm. You know, you do just enough to get by. So I've personally taken as a strife for myself that we try to spread this word so that one day when Jesus does come back, that we are able to be with him. Because I don't want to be I don't want to be quote unquote in the garden or in front of the king and he says, you know, part from me, I do not know you, because there'll be a lot of people that say, Lord, Lord. You know, and that's a very powerful message from there in of itself. In conclusion for that, if there's anything that we can do for y'all here tonight, I highly, 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 highly stress that you do that, for tomorrow is not granted to us. Us leaving this building and walking out and getting to our cars is not granted to us. Please, if you have not made that decision to take on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please come forth now. Or if you have any problems that you feel that you want to confide in the church or within the eldership that's here, we'd be more than happy to help you with that. If you will stand and sing.